Eben's word.
I am who it says I am.
I can do what it says I can do.
I can be who it says I can be.
And I will have what it says I can have.
Today,
I will hear the word of God.
I boldly declare
that my mind is alert.
My heart is receptive.
My ears are open.
And I better not go to sleep.
I'll never be the same.
In Jesus' name,
amen. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. It's always a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. We thank you for the presence of God. We thank you for the spirit of God. And Lord, as we've come and we left our homes to come into your house, we have an expectation to hear from you. So Holy Spirit, do what only you can do and take the Logos word and transform it into a Rhema word so that when we hear the word, our hearts will be changed, our lives will be challenged, and most of all, our faith will increase so that we can live out what we hear. And Lord, I declare in the name of Jesus for signs, miracles, and wonders to follow our lives as a result of receiving the word today. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Let everybody say,
amen,
amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Now, prophetess, you can stand up so they can see you. Go on and stand up. So that y'all give her another big hand clap. So grateful for her and her ministry. So if you're visiting us for the very first or second time, wave at us, wave. If you're visiting for the first time, okay, we have some visitors in the house.
Someone was like, I ain't gonna wave. I don't want him to stand up and ask me for a visitor response. How many remember the visitor response? Yeah.
So if you are here for the very first or second time, we're in a series called Noise Cancellation. And the purpose of the series is to hear God better, and we're going to do that by reducing or removing unnecessary noise that may be blocking our hearing from hearing the voice of God. And so we're actually on lesson number 7. Everybody say 7. We're on lesson number 7, and our message title today is going to be challenging. As a matter of fact, I'm not expecting too much feedback because it's one of those subjects that you normally don't hear in church, but we're going to hear it today. Amen. So if you need the notes for today, raise your hand and our ushers will give it to you. That way you can follow me. But if not, they'll have the scriptures on the screen. So the message title today is Turning Down the Volume of Pride. Turning down the volume of pride, because we're talking about how to hear the voice of God better and clearer. And it is very difficult. Here's some hands right here. It's very difficult to hear God's voice clearly when pride is in the way. So the goal of the message today is for you and I to learn and understand the negative side effects that pride has so that we can identify them in our life and evict them in Jesus' name. Everybody say side effects. You know, some medications have side effects. You know, they say if you take this pill, your hair might fall out. If you take this pill, you might cuss your husband out. You know, if you you say, I don't need a pill for that. Well, but anyway, you know, you have medicine that has side effects. Well, pride has some side effects. And so there are 4 things that I just want to tell you about pride right up front. And then we're going to jump into the message. And these are things that I want you to get in your heart. So here's the first thing about pride that I want you to know is that pride is the forerunner to destruction. It's the forerunner. What does that mean? That means this pride is something that's going to happen before you see destruction. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction, and it goes before a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 16:18 in the Message translation says, first pride, then the crash, the bigger the ego, the harder the fall. Listen to the take-home statement that I have here. Pride speaks so loud that God's voice can get drowned. Pride can speak so loud that God's voice can be drowned. Here's the second thing I want you to know about pride, is that pride puts us in opposition to God or with God. It puts us in opposition. In other words, pride will cause God to oppose you. James 4:6 says, but he, God, gives more grace. Here's the part I want to read. It says, God resisted. Everybody say resisted. When you look up that word resist, it means to fight against. So God fights against the proud, but he gives grace to who? To the humble. So just so you can get a visual of how pride works in a negative way, Romans 8:31 reads like this. What shall we say to these things? If God be what? For us, then who can be against us? But when we function in pride, that verse would actually read this way. What shall we say to these things? If God is resisting us, who or what can help us? When you and I walk in pride, it causes God to resist us. And if God is resisting you, I don't care who it is, nobody's going to be able to help you. Amen. Here's the third thing I want you to know about pride is that pride will deceive you. Pride is very deceptive. Obadiah, that is a book in the Bible. Please do not name your kids Obadiah. Okay. But Obadiah chapter 1 verse 1 says, the vision of Obadiah, thus says the Lord concerning Edom. We have heard a rumor from the Lord. I didn't know the Lord spoke rumors. He said, we've heard a rumor from the Lord. And an ambassador is sent among the heathen. He says, arise and let us rise against her in battle. Watch verse 2. He says, behold, I have made you small among the heathen. Watch verse 3. He says, the pride that is in your heart, what has it done? It deceived me, or deceived. And pride deceives. Everybody say pride deceives. Pride will deceive you into thinking things that are outside of the Word of God. There are some people watching me right now who live right across the street and they didn't want to get up this morning, so they decided to dial in instead of walk in. Pride can have you thinking that not coming to church is okay. Touch your neighbor and say, he's coming down your street in just a minute. Yep, just a minute, just a minute, just a minute. So we can see that pride deceives. God, here's the fourth thing I want you to know, and we're going to jump into the message. God always, everybody say always. God always exalts and gives next level favor to the humble. So when you and I walk into humility, then what that does, it gets the attention of God, and it will cause God to exalt you, to lift you up, and cause favor to come in your life. James chapter 4 verse 6, we read it, but I want to focus on the first part of the verse. He says, God gives more grace. Everybody say more grace. Now that word more means greater and larger. So God gives greater and larger grace to the humble. He says God resists the proud, but he gives grace. And that word grace translates also the word favor. God gives favor to who? To the humble. So before you and I, if we want to see God's next level, then the lower we go, the higher God will take us. Did you get that? The lower we go, the higher God will take us. And let me tell you something about the devil. I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, and I did something wrong, it's easier to tell your mama what you did before they caught you. Cause maybe you would get some less licks, right? Or maybe they won't punish you at all because you just came out and told them. Well see, the devil can't bust you out if you bust yourself out. See, humility is, he said humble yourself. So watch this, there's no further to go. If I'm low, I can't go no lower. So if the devil tried to tell it on me, it don't matter because I'm on the ground anyway, right? Well, many believers, instead of humbling ourselves, sometimes God has to humble us. So what I want to do is talk about some of the negative side effects of pride. But what I want to do before I do that is to describe the difference between pride and arrogance, because there's a difference, okay? So pride is rooted in self. It's inwardly focused. It's my way. It's doing things the way I want it. It's self-reliance. Everybody say self-reliance. It's you and I relying on ourselves. This is when we believe and know what God's word says over here, but we're going to do what we want to do over here. So pride is rooted in self. And here's what's interesting. I believe one of the things, because there are two reasons that I'm giving this message today. The first one is, I believe that God, there are some people that's on the edge of destruction, and he's trying to get me as a watchman to let you know you're on the edge. Y'all heard that song? Don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge. See, some of y'all are on the edge, you need to get off. You on the edge. Destruction is knocking on the door. He's saying, humble yourself. So that's one group of people. But I also believe there's a group of people that God is wanting us to stay humble, because he's getting ready to exalt us. And listen, when you humble yourself, the Bible says God gives you more grace. I don't know about you, but I don't mind favor, but I really don't mind more favor. And so I believe that God is ready to promote some of us, exalt some of us, lift some of us up, raise some of us up. And the only way he's going to do it is if we stay what, church? We got to stay humble. So what's now, what is arrogance? Arrogance is an exaggeration of self. People who are arrogant pretty much demean other people. In other words, pride says, I'm good. Arrogance says, I'm better than you. Y'all see the difference? Okay, and pride is often hidden while arrogance is out loud. So here are now some side effects of pride, because you can't identify something if you don't know how it operates. So pride can be expressed by showing independence. I don't need no help. I don't need you. It's about me. And if we don't watch it, we will get off of God's timetable and create our own. Yesterday, I had ordered some Uber Eats. So the guy comes in, drops off the food, and I give him an additional tip. I know I tipped him through the app, but I'm going to tip him in person, right? And so I could tell he missed my house because he drove past. So I stepped outside so he could see me. Long story short, he comes up. I give him the tip. He gives me the food. And then he says, may I ask you a question? Well, normally the question is, what do I do? But he didn't ask that one. Long story short, he had 5 degrees and could not find the proper job. So he asked me about that. So I realized, okay, this is an assignment. Now, I ain't gonna lie to you. My mind was like, your food getting cold. Your food's getting cold. And then my mind said, but you got a microwave. And long story short, I had to help this man. He was 61, almost my age. I had to help him see that he had natural faith, but he didn't have spiritual faith. And I explained the difference to him and showed him why he needed to be connected to his creator. Long story short, he got saved right there in my driveway. But here's my point. Pride says, I'm ready to eat. Because pride is rooted in self. Everybody say pride is rooted in self. All right. So pride shows independence. Pride refuses to receive help. You ever tried to help somebody and they just refuse to receive help? In fact, prideful people won't even ask for help. Prideful people, watch this now, this one's going to hit you, does not like correction. Amen. Prideful people will not accept wisdom. Pride takes credit instead of giving glory to God. So what I want to do here, if you read Isaiah 14, I'm going to skip it, but verse 12, it talks about Lucifer. And how, in fact, you know what? Let me just read verse 13. It says, this is Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. I'm going to start in verse 13 because it's talking about Lucifer, who is the devil. And the Bible says he was cut down. And in verse 13, it tells us why. He said, because you said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. Then he says, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Then he says, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. And then verse 14, he says, He says, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. Then he says, He says, I will be like the Most High. And then God says, okay, if you're going to be all of that, he says, I will bring you down to hell. So here's the question as we move forward. What kind of side effects can pride have on us? In other words, what I want you to see is how is pride maybe functioning in our life? Here's point number one if you're taking notes, and that is pride mutes our hearts from hearing God's voice. Pride mutes our hearts so that we won't hear God's voice. It's not like God ain't talking, but if our hearts are full of pride, we won't hear him. Why? Because the pride is muting our hearts from hearing his voice. So we're going to read very quickly about a man named Nebuchadnezzar. He was a king. And what's interesting about Nebuchadnezzar, he had so much pride that it did not allow him to hear what the prophet was saying to him. That God had a message for. So long story short, this man named Nebuchadnezzar, he had a dream. And in this dream, he saw a big tree. This tree was flourishing. It was full of fruit, had leaves and everything. In fact, the tree was so large and so tall that animals would come and rest in under the tree for shade. And what's interesting is in the dream that the tree was cut down, but the stump and the roots remained. So he was puzzled by the whole story, the dream. So he asked Daniel to come and give an interpretation. So we're going to look in Daniel chapter 4, verse 24. And this is what Daniel is telling him what's going to happen. He says, this is what your dream means, your majesty. Verse 25, you will be driven from human society. You will live in the fields with the wild animals. You will eat grass like a cow, and you will be drenched with dew from heaven. Seven periods of time will pass by while you live this way. And he says, you're going to be that way until you learn. Everybody say learn. Until you learn that the Most High rules over the kingdoms of this world. Verse 26. But the stump and the roots of the tree were left in the ground. This means you will receive your kingdom back again when you learn. Everybody say learn. When you learn that heavens rule. So then verse 27. Daniel really gives this king some instructions. He said, hey, look, king, please accept my advice. Stop sinning. Everybody say stop sinning. Then look at your neighbor and say, I was talking to you. He says, stop sinning and do what is right. Break your wicked past and be merciful to the poor. So long story short, 12 months go by. Nebuchadnezzar has 12 months to get himself together. That's like being written up on your job and they say, look, we're going to give you a whole year to get yourself together. Well, 12 months go by, I'm in verse 29. 12 months later, watch what happened. He was taking a walk on the flat roof of his royal palace that's in Babylon. As he looked across the city, he said, look at this great city of Babylon. By my own power, I have built this beautiful city as my royal residence to display my majestic splendor. Boy, it sounds like he's in trouble, don't it? Listen, here's a take-home statement. Pride takes credit for what God should get glory for. I'm going to say that again. Pride takes credit for what God should get glory for. And so here it is. This guy's walking on his top palace, and he starts looking around everything that God had done through him, and he says, look at what I've done. Look in verse 31. He says, while these words was in his mouth, a voice called from heaven and says, O King Nebuchadnezzar, this message is for you. And then basically he goes down and says, listen, you will no longer rule the kingdom. And what Daniel said to this guy, it ended up happening to this guy. You know why? Because pride would stop your ears from hearing what God is trying to say. Everybody say years ago. Now, some of y'all heard the story I'm about to tell you, but you need to hear it again. You know why? Because your pride didn't let you hear it the first time. So years ago when I was single and I was a minister, the church was about 80 people or so, maybe 100 on Easter. So we, you know, we used to go to camp every year. And, you know, we had the church had rented some church vans. And so we would drive the vans to camp and then we would come back. Well, my friend Doug was driving on the way to camp and I had agreed to drive on the way back. So Doug's driving the van and the pastor's wife was a backseat driver. As a matter of fact, she was a backseat driver, a side seat driver, a front seat driver. She was just telling everybody how to drive. And so my friend Doug, you know, she gets on the highway and she's like, Doug, can you get over in the left hand lane? So Doug is so nice and so sweet and so humble. Doug, just get over in the left hand lane, you know. And then later on, she's like, Doug, can you get over in the right-hand lane? And Doug gets over here in the right-hand lane. And I'm sitting there going, I hope she don't do me like that when I'm driving. Lord Jesus, I ain't going to be able to handle this. But Doug took it well. So we get to camp because I'm irritated. I wasn't even driving, but I was irritated. And I knew my time was coming. So that first night of camp, when I went to bed that night, I had a dream. I had a dream that one day I was going to go off on my pastors. And in this dream, I don't know what happened, but I went off on my pastor them. I was cussing. I was fussing. I was going off. I was going off so much. All the members in the church was looking at me like, what happened to Minister Evan? I woke up from the dream. I was like, Lord, what did that dream mean? He said, Evan, your heart toward your pastor is getting off. You need to check it. I said, what do you mean? He says, your heart toward your pastor is getting off. You need to check it. Well, I had a whole week to check it. How many know I didn't check it? Now it's time to go home. It's time for Minister Evan to drive the van. So I'm in the van and I'm ready to go. And I didn't even get on the highway good. Evan, can you get over in the right-hand lane? And I said, okay, and I did it, but on the inside, I was getting upset already. Cause see, you can obey and not submit. I obeyed her on the outside, but on the inside, I was mad as, I was steaming like broccoli. So then she asked me to get over in the right hand lane. And I was thinking, well, I was over in the right hand lane before you told me to get in the left hand lane. And so I'm getting attitude big time. And finally I said to myself, cause how many know you need to talk to yourself? But I talked to myself in a bad way that day. I was like, you know what? If she asked me to move one more time, I'm going to pull this van over and I'm going to tell her to drive. Well, I'll be doggone it. Here it is. Pastor, Minister Evan, can you get over in the right hand lane? I was like, ah! I threw that thing in park. Point. I was like, look, I'm tired of you telling me how to drive. Looks like you need to drive. So I got up out the seat and I said, you need to drive because I ain't driving no more. And the Lord said, Evan, the dream has come to pass. What I did in that dream, church, I did it in real life. You know why? Because I did not allow that dream that God sent my way to check me. Because pride will keep your ears stopped up. Say amen to that, church. Amen. Amen. And that's what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. He allowed his pride to keep his heart from listening to God. Say amen to that. Amen. He allowed his success to get to his head and to get to his heart. Because pride attributes success to self instead of God. Say amen to that. Here's a take-home statement. Pride deafens the heart to correction instead of submitting to God's way for protection. I'm going to say it again. Pride deafens the heart to correction instead of submitting to God's way for protection, which leads us up now point number two, and that is we're going to talk about the preliminary signs of pride. These are things that happen before pride surfaces. So what I'm trying to do, I'm trying to help us see how pride works against us and then identify what that looks like so that we can stay humble. Because church, they say, you know, that high blood pressure is the silent killer. Well, pride is the silent blessing killer. Pride will kill blessings. So one of the things that you and I, because what I want to do is see what the things are that push us in the direction of pride. Okay, so here's, actually it's like five of them built in one. So here's some of the things that pushes us in the direction of pride. In other words, this is what can cause us to be prideful. It's when we experience power, position, prosperity, and success. I'm going to say that again. When you and I, to experience pride, what happens is it can happen when we experience power, we experience position, when we experience prosperity, and when we experience success. So we're going to read 2 Chronicles chapter 26 because I want to show you how success can cause you to be prideful, and the very thing that God used to exalt you is now working against you. So this king we're going to read about, his name is Uzziah. And his dad had died, so he took his place in the kingdom. So verse 1 says, Judah had crowned Amaziah's 16-year-old son named Uzziah as king. After his father's death, Uzziah rebuilt the town of Elath, and he restored it. Verse 3. Uzziah was how old, church? 16 years old. So if you 16 years here, you can still serve the Lord. Don't let the devil deceive you into thinking, oh, you too young to serve. No, he was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned for 52 years. His mother was Jecholiah from Jerusalem. And this young man, 16 years old, he did what was pleasing in the sight of the Lord, just as his father did. And verse 5, it tells us that Uzziah sought God during the days of Zechariah, who taught him to fear God. And as long as Uzziah, as the king, sought the guidance from the Lord, God gave him success. In other words, success will come in your life when you continue to say, okay, Lord, how do you want me to do this? And what happens, pride starts seeping in when we stop seeking God. So now we're going to drop down, because if you read the rest of the verses, it tells us all of his accomplishments. And I don't want to go over that, but I want to see what happens to him, because what happens to him can happen to us. Second Chronicles 26, I'm reading the New Living Translation. It says, Uzziah provided the whole entire army with shields and spears and helmets, coats of mail, bows and sling stones. And he built structures on the wall of Jerusalem designed by experts to protect those who shot arrows and hurled large stones from the towers. I'm now in verse 16. Well, let me continue to read. It says, his fame spread far and wide, for the Lord gave him marvelous help. Watch this too. And he became how, church? What did he become? He became very powerful. What's the next word in verse 16? But look at your neighbor and say, get your butt out the way. He said, but, when he became powerful, read this with me, church, he also became proud. He became powerful. God exalted him. God blessed him, and he became proud. Well, let's see what he did. It says he became proud, which led to his downfall. He sinned against the Lord, his God, by entering the sanctuary of the Lord's temple and personally burning incense on the altar. 2 Chronicles 26 verse 17 says, Azariah the high priest went in after him along with 80 other priests, and they confronted him and said, it is not for you to burn incense to the Lord. So let me explain what happened. This guy got so full of himself that he was powerful and he was successful and God had blessed him, that he was like, you know what? I can do anything now. So the Bible says he went into the temple, and you have to understand what he was trying to do was only the responsibilities of a priest. But when you're functioning in pride, you think you can do whatever you want to do. Amen. It happens a lot in the church. Here it is, you're an usher and you're trying to tell Pastor Marty how to run the youth department. Hello. Amen. Here it is. You work in the cafe, you know, but you're trying to tell Pastor Perry how to run the children's department. You ain't got no kids. In other words, pride will dip into other people's stuff.
Look at your neighbor and say, mind your business, mind your business.
Man, this dude went. He burnt some incense. They told him that was wrong. And I want you to see his response. This is interesting. Verse, it says, they told him to get out of the sanctuary, for you have sinned. The Lord God will not honor you for this. Watch his response. Because remember, I told you pride does not like correction. Watch in verse 19. Uzziah, who was holding an incense burner, he became what? He got mad because they told him he shouldn't be doing what he shouldn't have been doing. That's like getting mad because the police is giving you a ticket. Why are you mad? I'm talking to somebody right now. You got a ticket this week. I promise you I'm talking to somebody. You got a ticket this week and you got mad at the cop, but it was your fault. Now just look at somebody and say, did you get a ticket this week? You got mad. And see, your reference point was, but I was just going over 7 miles or whatever it was. No, the fact is you were speeding. Well, this guy got mad at the priest. Let me tell you what happened. They told him to get out, and then leprosy broke out on his forehead. Here's a take-home statement. Pride can cause spiritual blind spots that can eventually cause spiritual blindsidedness. See, the goal of pride is to not just create a blind spot, but for you to be blindsided. So how can pride be so powerful? Why? Because see, pride looks in and not look up. So let's talk about now some symptoms. Everybody say symptoms. I got some time here. Let's talk about some symptoms to pride and how it seeps into our life, okay? Here's the first symptom. It's when your gratefulness and your thankfulness has become almost nothingness. I'm going to say that again. Pride starts seeping into our life when our gratefulness and our thankfulness has become almost nothingness. In other words, our entitlement attitude has reduced our thankfulness to God. And so now what God does for us, we expect him to because he's supposed to. You said you would, God, so you need to do it. But see, if your thanksgiving has gone down, that means your prideful living has gone up. Amen. So let's see this now. Now, we know the story is about this man named Hezekiah. He got sick. And so we're picking up the verse real quick, 2 Chronicles 32. It says, it was in the days of Hezekiah, he became very sick and near to death. He prayed to the Lord, and the Lord spoke to Hezekiah and gave him a sign. But Hezekiah's heart was what, church? It was proud. How do we know that? Listen to what he says. Because he did not give God what? Thanks for his kindness. And so if your thanksgiving, your thankfulness, your appreciation towards the Lord, and this is why you when you miss praise and worship, some of you, that's the only time you praised and worshiped. But the scripture says when he stopped giving thanks for God's kindness, then this is what it says. This is why God was angry with Hezekiah. But then Hezekiah and the people changed their hearts and they became humble and stopped being proud, and the Lord's anger didn't come on them. In other words, church, here's the point. A prayerless life or a life of less thanksgiving means that pride has surfaced. So check your thanksgiving out. You used to say your grace. Now you, before you eat, you be like, you know. Here's the second one we close right here. How do we know that pride is seeping into our life? Is a prayerless life means a prideful life. Because it takes humility to pray and ask God to help us. And so all you have to do to check your pride level is to look at your prayer level. If your prayer life is low, that means your pride level is high. Because when you're not acknowledging God in all of your ways, what you're saying is, I got it, God. And I wonder how many of us, through our actions, not through our intentions, because see, what we do, we've allowed our relationship with God to move from what I did to what I intended to do. Cause he knows my, he knows my heart. So I cussed that person out, but he knew I didn't mean to. Lord, I meant to pray this morning. I meant to spend some time with you this morning, but you understood. You know I ain't got no time. You know that traffic is bad on 635. So he understands. The problem with that is God does not judge us based on our intentions. He looks at what our actions does because faith is connected to actions. So let's close with this because I'm out of time. Let's close. So how do we apply the word today? Because I promise you, God is ready to exalt, to promote, and to raise up a lot of us in this room and those who are watching. He's ready to do that. Well, in order for him to do that, we got to deal with this pride. So what's the first step? First of all, we need to repent. If you know you've been that way, because I'm hoping that the Holy Spirit will shine some light where you've been, been walking in pride. Number one is repent. Everybody say repent. Listen, when you mess up, fess up. Don't act like you ain't do nothing. You know, it's like, you know, you and your spouse have a, you know, a little problem, and you say something you shouldn't have said, and then you just act like, you know, you just start treating them back nice again. No, wait a minute. Everybody say you need to repent. That's number one. Number two, you and I, we must see humility as a strength and not a weakness. Number three, we must develop a heart for correction. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 10, it talks about the scripture is given to, by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, watch this, for correction and instruction in righteousness. Why? So that we can be perfect or mature, thoroughly furnished. Here's the fourth thing we must do to keep pride out. We must admit when you're wrong and apologize for your error. Just admit you were wrong. I was wrong. I messed up. You know, I shouldn't tell this story, but I'm gonna do it anyway. But anyway, yesterday, me and First Lady was going on our way somewhere. And, I said, oh, I know I had left something at home. I left my cell phone. And I said, rot it. She said, you know that's a cuss word. Now, if y'all don't know this, that's a cuss word in Jamaica. I don't even know what it means. But I lived in Jamaica for 2 years and they used it, so I just adopted it. And so she's like, you know that's a cuss word, but I was like, but I don't even know what it means. It don't matter what it means. You are cussing. How many know I barely need the Holy Spirit because I got First Lady, I'm telling you. I got the First Lady. And so basically she was like, now you, and so finally I was like, okay, I ain't gonna use the word no more for you. And she was like, you need to not use it for you. I said, well, it don't even matter if I'm not using it, whether I'm doing it for you or me, I'm just not gonna use it no more, even though I just used it here on the stage, praise the Lord. In other words, when you're wrong, admit it. Here's the last one. Keep pride dead by admitting you need help. And take the steps for asking for help. You know, sometimes, and I'm not involved in the process, but I do understand this happens. Sometimes when someone needs financial assistance, and here it is, you know, they behind 4 months on their house note. Why didn't they come and get help on the first month? Do you know it's easier to help somebody with 1 month of mortgage than four? You come to us with four, and what we're going to do is pray for you. Now, we're going to help you, but we're going to pray for you because our help for you might help you move out of that place. So there are some people here, every head bowed and every eye closed. There are some people. God, this is a warning for some, and then this is an encouragement for others. Because I believe there are some people that are making high five figure, but God's getting ready to push you into six. But he's giving you this message so you can handle the success right. Because see, Jesus said, it's not in the abundance of things that when a man possesses that makes him him. And if you don't watch it, you'll start making that kind of money and it goes to your head. He's trying to prevent that. He's getting you ready. So Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for what you've spoken. I pray that the Holy Spirit, while I was speaking, was ministering to hearts and helping people see and make adjustments. And I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that this is going to be a church that you can trust to exalt. That Father, there are people who own businesses. I thank you for taking their businesses to new levels. There are people, Father, who are looking to be promoted on their jobs. And I thank you, Lord, that this message now has grounded them, that when they do get up there, they won't think it's all about them. They will know it's all about you and your goodness. So I thank you for exalting us and for raising us up as we humble ourselves before you in Jesus' name. With every head still bowed, if you died today, here's my question.